On a shelf in my office sits a dusty Merriam-Webster Collegiate Dictionary. It's a proud volume, thick and substantial, and to hold it is to feel the weight of the words contained within its bindings. Truth be told, I rarely use it anymore since the Merriam-Webster is so easily accessible online, but I keep that dictionary within my clear line of sight at all times. The reason is a quote written on the inside front cover by my high school English teacher. Her name is Bonnie Hamilton, and she gave me the dictionary as a high school graduation gift. Miss Hamilton was one of those gems of a teacher who understood both her subject and the students she taught. She somehow had an intuitive sense of who we were and perhaps even who we would become. And so on the inside of my dusty dictionary, Mrs. Hamilton inscribed this by Nathaniel Hawthorne. Words, so innocent and powerless as they are, as standing in a dictionary, how potent for good and evil they become in the hands of one who knows how to combine them. I'm one for whom both my vocation and my livelihood depend upon the combination of words. And the Hawthorne quote is a guy wire for me. When I heed it keeps me grounded and upright. And when I don't, my casual use of words sometimes unleashes ripples for good or ill that I neither intend nor expect. I am not alone. If pressed to acknowledge the one prevailing lesson that I have learned in my ordained life, I would name this. We regularly and often without recognition lift one another to the heights of joy and condemn one another to the pit with the words we string together. Hawthorne is right. Their potential cannot be exaggerated. Sometimes an entire nation can be moved by one with felicity for words. At Gettysburg, stepping off a train into the wake of the unparalleled carnage that is wrought when brothers take up guns against one another, Lincoln opened his mouth and spoke these few precious words, not of Yankee or rebel, but of one people and their divine charge. It is for us to be here dedicated to the great task remaining before us, that from these honored dead, we take increased devotion to that cause for which they gave their last full measure of devotion. That we here highly resolve that these dead shall not have died in vain. That this nation under God shall have a new birth of freedom. And that government of the people, by the people, and for the people, shall not perish from this earth. Lincoln added that the world will little note nor long remember what was said at Gettysburg. As right as he was in all else he said that day, he was surely wrong in that. The words that sear for good and ill, we don't forget. Just as words influence the course of nations, so they influence the direction of individual lives. I can attest that the words of love I received from my grandmother, words that she regularly scattered about her like fresh petals from a basket, are still my truest analogy of God's own love. I never felt as loved as when she told me I was loved. The heights of joy reached with just a word. But there is shadow to such light. In an earlier chapter of my life, I knew a woman who had been abused, first by her husband, and then by the very person to whom she had retreated for counsel and sanctuary. And heaped like hot coals on top of her fear and betrayal, three words were uttered to her that shattered her more deeply than all else. "You deserve this," she was told. "You deserve this." Her physical scars faded with time. My friend functioned in society. She raised her children. She even joined a church. But the brand of those three words spoken into existence so effortlessly, in the mere fraction of a second, she never overcame. That they were untrue, she understood cognitively. But the hollow created within her by the declaration that she was deserving of her humiliation and her pain, that would not be filled. Today is all about words. This is Palm Sunday. Jesus comes among us riding a colt, and the emotion wells up in us, finding articulation in words. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. This day begins with the best of words. But this is also Passion Sunday. Scarcely have our tongues offered blessing than we hear different words, ugly words, spoken under the cover of night by one who had claimed to love Jesus like a brother. "He's the one," Judas says to the mob. And Jesus is condemned. Immediately, we find ourselves cast as the crowd before Pontius Pilate. And Pilate, of all people, Pilate offers us Jesus. Offers us freedom. He offers the one who moved us to speak such words of blessing just moments before. And now we choose our words carefully. They are designed to sting. We look God in the eye and we say, "Crucify him." Distilled to its essence, the rest of Holy Week is all about our reflection upon the words that we speak in this drama. It's all about the honest appraisal of ourselves as people who can say in one breath, "Blessed be God." And in the very next, "Crucify him." That is, of course, what we do to God. We Christians, no less than anyone else. We reach out our arms in embrace one day, and we push away with violence or disregard the next. Our speech mirrors the oscillation of our relationship with the very one who creates us in love. And as it is with God, so it is with those we meet in our lives. With those we say we love, with our worst enemies, with those we casually encounter all our days, our words can bless. they can condemn. And have no doubt that they can crucify. With intention or without, our speech ripples out from our lips to the ears of others. And we create and we destroy worlds. Perhaps in no other way are we so like God. Effortlessly, we can give one another such joy. Effortlessly, we can cause such pain. As we walk through this week that is so unlike every other week, pray. We begin to choose our words more carefully. Pray that the source of all our words be the grace we receive in Jesus, so that our every utterance would be lined with grace. Then perhaps we'll be able to identify with those words spoken by the centurion who sees the depth of love written on Jesus' face as he hangs dying on the cross. Truly, truly, this man is God's son. Amen.